Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio, an Endeavor Business Media podcast, bringing you strategies and inspiration for auto care success, featuring the voices of shop owners, thought leaders, and influencers from around the auto care industry. My guest today is Jamie Cuthbert, the founder and CEO of AutoServe One. Jamie's going to break down really the science of DVI. We're going to look at the four quadrants of a successful DVI and really the harmony of DVI through the lens of the customer journey as it touches all four parts of the quadrant. Very good stuff, guys. Sit tight. After this message, you'll hear from Jamie. Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Can I tell you how fired up I am about the 2024 Ratchet & Wrench Management Conference happening September 12th through the 14th at the Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida? That's right. Our theme this year, powering your shop, fueling the fun. When you register at rwconference.com, you'll join industry leaders for an exclusive business building conference for auto repair shop owners, operators, and managers. This year, it's a new location, it's a new format, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got over 30 strategy sessions, we've got roundtables, we've got keynotes, and best of all, we've got lots of valuable networking to put you in proximity of some of the industry's leading operators so you can soak in their knowledge. RWConference.com to register, and I'll see you in Orlando. And now, on to our guest. Well, hey, Jamie, welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio. Great to have you on. You are the founder and CEO of AutoServe One. Tell us about your background in automotive.
Sure. Well, it's kind of funny, but it started when I was very young. I was about 12 years old, and my dad was a tool and die man. So I grew up in the shop, in either engine mechanics in the shop in the high school or over in the machine shop. And my dad, I said, I want to build go-karts, power go-karts. And he goes, that sounds great. He goes, you'll have to build them yourself. So he made the shop available. The small engine shop was next door down the hall. So I had to take a small engine repair when I was 12 years old because we didn't have a lot of money. So what I did, my dad said, you go find broken down lawnmowers on garbage day. Bring those home, take them into the shop. You'll learn how to rebuild engines. That's when I started at 12 years old.
Wow. That's funny. Like, it reminds me of a story of a photographer friend that I have. She said that, you know, she wanted to learn how to do photography. So her dad gave her a camera, stuck her in a field and told her he'd be back in an hour.
It's kind of it, you know? Yeah, no, when I started on this, you know, I'm talking, you know, Tecumseh engines. Anybody out there that knows those things, they know they were the cheapest things built. You know, if you could get your hands on a Briggs & Stratton, oh man, that was like,
oh man, yeah. So your dad threw you in the fire there. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's the best way to learn, right? I mean, really, you know, especially it kind of leads into vehicles today, is today's technicians really have to be an interesting blend of person, right? You got to be interested in technology, pretty sharp to learn the new tech as it comes, but at the same time, still really good with your hands too. That's a rare breed to make great technicians.
Yeah, I think that being a tech, you know, apart from the mechanical side, like you talked about, there has to be a curiosity that you have, you know, like you have to be really curious about what makes things work, new technology, how it all comes together. It's a fascinating field to be in right now.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think the aftermarket is poised for sort of its golden era. I mean, really, when you take a look at the average age of vehicle on the road, you look at the cost, the rising cost of new vehicles, you look at, you know, the declining purchasing power with housing costs going up, and it means people are going to have to learn how to drive used vehicles longer and longer. And, you know, that's often the very first entry point for a lot of people, especially millennials, who are now the largest percentage of our population. You know, it's funny, people say the millennials, you know, but come on, like those millennials, the oldest millennials are nearly 40 years old. So it's no longer these 20-somethings only, right? So a lot of them are in used vehicles. And, you know, we got to keep those used vehicles on the road longer. And frankly, it's also really good for the environment too, right? Because if we don't have to build a new vehicle, all that greenhouse gas is saved and, you know, you're doing a favor to everybody.
That's very true, especially when you give, or especially when it's given that the average car is what, about 12 and a half to 13 years old that's on the road now. And that's what techs are seeing.
Yep. There's a lot of work to be done to keep that vehicle maintained well.
Absolutely. So something you're well versed in is DVI, you know, and you have this four-pronged approach for how shop owners can effectively use DVI. Can you walk us through that, Jamie?
Sure. So one of the key things when we started off building digital vehicle inspections, and this is nearly 15 years ago, is we didn't know much and we made lots of mistakes. And, you know, one of the easy mistakes when you're building technology is you build it so you think you've got it right at the beginning, and you never do. And, you know, we worked with shops day in, day out, visited the shops, spent time in the shops, talked to the technicians, talked to the owners, talked to the service advisors and customers. And what we learned was that there was kind of these four quadrants that became very clear. In order to make a digital vehicle inspection truly successful, you had to pay attention to each of these four. Number one is technicians. And the technicians, what are they looking for? Like, technicians are busy. They don't want some other idea pushed on them by an owner. So what motivates a technician to do their job? Well, usually, technicians are looking for data. Give me information, or make it easier for me as a technician to get the data I see on a vehicle up to the front desk quick. Because I don't want to inspect a vehicle once, put it on paper, walk it up to the front, wait maybe for a service advisor to get off the phone or sign off for a delivery or talking to a customer. I want to explain what's going on that vehicle back there. That means if I'm using paper, I had to scribble it down on the paper, put an arrow to the back, draw something, sketch it. Well, that's just a waste of my time. But what really angers technicians is something else. And that is being interrupted. So let's say they've inspected a car once with paper. Got it done. They walk up. They do their job. They get their steps in. They're not getting paid to walk up to the front and back. They're not getting paid to sit and chat up front. They get up there. They get the information. They drop it off. Well, what happens when it's paper? When it's paper, that means if that customer calls in, talks to the service advisor, or is in the front lobby waiting area, what often happened was they would then go, you walk back to the vehicle. Once they get the estimate prepared, the customer's got questions. Then somebody at the front desk yells to the back, hey, Tony, like, hey, can you come up here for a second? Or they come back with the customer in the old days. Sometimes some shops still like this. Bring the customer back, guide them back, have them talk to the mechanic, the technician directly. Problem is that just interrupted the tech because they're on to another part of their job, another vehicle, or they're trying to get deeper into the diagnostics or whatever else they're doing. So they're getting interrupted. No tech likes to get interrupted because you just broke the flow of their day. Now they're doing something twice. So what do technicians like? They like smart tools that are easy to use and make their jobs easier and faster. And that's where DVI really, if it's done right and it's done easy, that is, make it work on any device back there, make it work on their tablet, I don't care, work on their iPad, work on their Android tablet or their phone. A lot of the techs love using their smartphones now. So if your DVI is built right, it should be fully responsive and work on any size device, right? Make it easy. Make it shoot photos easy, record video easily, measurements, everything really easy and fast. That's what techs want, right? So for a tech, we need to be able to supply them with the tools that are fast, easy to use, and accurate, right? If you do your job well that way, techs will like your solution. So that was just one. That's one quadrant. The next quadrant, as you can imagine, it's all about teamwork in a shop. And it's all about what's going on in the back and what's going on in the front. So in the front, we've got our service advisors. And what's their struggle? It's different. It's a different struggle. What do you think is the number one hardest thing about doing the job as a good service advisor? It's communication. It's all about communication at the front counter. And that's both directions, front counter to the back. Does the service advisor know exactly what they're supposed to be estimating? Do they have the photo of the part? Do they have the ID of the part? Is it clear? Is it accurate? Or are they maybe ordering the wrong part, which happens every day? And then that really messes up the flow in a shop when the wrong part arrives. So we want it to be so when the tech does a handoff digitally to the front has to be able to see those results quickly, within seconds. They don't want to wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They could be working on an estimate already. They want to see the results from that DVI up on their screens, on their main monitors that they're using every day to run whatever shop system they're using. They might be using ProTractor. They might be using, you know, Tire Guru or Trax or something else, right? Whatever it is that they're using, those systems have to be able to talk to the DVI. So that's, you know, of course, in our case, we talk to all these systems. And so the service advisor wants to be able to know, what am I supposed to estimate? And then he wants to be able, or she wants to be able to send at the touch of a button, click out to the customer's smartphone. And we want to send them a link so they can see photos, they can see measurements, they can see educational content on their phone, because frankly, we want to be where it's convenient for the customer. And they're not all waiting around anymore, right? The majority of customers do not wait in waiting rooms. And even if you do, frankly, it's always good to send the report to the customer in the waiting room, because maybe they have a spouse they need to speak with about this. They can just forward that text right on to the spouse within seconds. And we have tons of customers that actually send their kids off to university or college in a different town. They have the old beater car in the other town. They don't have mom and dad's new one. And then the kids are like, I don't know. They're saying I need $900 worth of work. And they could be 5 hours away, right? That's when the shop can go, hey, no problem. We'll text right to mom, dad, uncle, whoever else needs to go to. So service advisors are all about sort of how do we communicate correctly and how do we get communicated to by the techs accurately. So that's kind of the big teamwork that's got to work. So the next piece is the consumer. Obviously, if we do our jobs really well there, how do we get the information to the consumer? And the answer is we've got to be on the phone. We've got to be on our smartphone nowadays. We do not want to be phoning these people as the only way to get to them. Yes, I'm fine with a phone call. I like phone calls if it's the right method for that customer. But do you really think phone calls are the number one preferred method by millennials today? No. Everybody knows. I mean, you can't, you know, we couldn't get our kids to come to dinner. You could yell downstairs, it's dinner time, right? And then you'd text them, it's dinner time. They'd show up. It's like, what is this? This is crazy, right? Or please call me. You'd have to text them, please call me. So, I mean, I really think we're at the point where the smartphone, you know, this is a device introduced way back in June of 2007. The iPhone came out. So it's like, what is that, 17 years now? I think 2024, around 17 years. It's like a teenager now. You know, so, you know, the reality is we've got to go where the customer is and make it easy. And now the next thing about DVI that we built out, which I think was important, is you want to make it easy for the customer to assess what's going on with their car, and you want to make it really easy for them to click to approve the work. So, you know, in our case, and I'm sure others, we built it in so it's really easy. You send the estimate out, you send the photos, everything's there, the education, then they can simply click, say, hey, I'd like to know the estimate. They get the total estimate, they can either approve it, click, confirm to approve, and then the shop starts work right away. They don't wait 10, 20, 30 minutes, 2 hours for a callback, which is horrible, right? And the other piece, as we move further down that sort of making it easy for the customer is, okay, let's see if we got the work done. At the end of the day, how do they pay for it? Because that's another thing that customers do not like to wait in a line and present a credit card at the end of the day. If they can avoid that, they love to. If there's one thing that, you know, isolation did to us all for a few years there, it made buying things online and using your credit card over the phone super normal. So at the end of the day, we can now send a payment link out, for example, with 360 payments. When it goes out, then the customer can simply click and put in their details on their phone in privacy, pay the bill, and be done before they even show up at the end of the day. Again, make it easy. Some shops take that one step further and they put in a lockbox. And then they say, hey, pick up your car anytime you want. Come in later. It's okay by us. And they'll simply give you the code and the lockbox, and there your key is done. You've already paid for it. And you pick it up at 8 at night if you wish, if that's more convenient. So that's kind of the three quadrants. And the last is the owner of the shop. What motivates them? How do we help them? And for what we've seen, and we've worked with thousands of shop owners from everything from 400 stores, 450 stores down to one store. And I would say, yes, corporate has different sets of targets, but the one thing they have in common is they want happy customers. They want happy customers, and I will bet on this forever. There's one thing that all those shops value with their customers more than anything else. This one thing, if you have this with your customer, they will come back to you. If you don't have this, they're not coming back for a second visit. It's trust. Trust is the most valuable thing that a company can build with their customers. And if there's one thing that customers trust more than anything else, it's photos. Send me a picture of it. I will trust you if you show me, you know, St. Louis, Missouri, show me state, you know, show me, make it easy for me to understand what you're saying. Because frankly, if you show me a picture of a cracked rotor from my brakes, I will believe you. And suddenly I might even understand what that thing does. But if you say I've got a cracked rotor and I have no clue what that is, and I don't know why you're telling me this, because I came in today for an oil change or a tire rotation, and that was supposed to be free, and now you want $600, you know, to replace, you know, it might be front end brake job. And this is where photos build trust quick. And, you know, the reality is, in this automotive world we're in now, seeing is believing. It's always been there, except now, because of the iPhone, frankly, 17 years ago, they spent billions to put in this huge infrastructure of everybody carrying these smartphones. And now we can get photos to people, videos, measurements, and educational content, short educational videos to explain it in seconds. And so that's what the owners want. The owners want customers that trust them, because once you gain the trust of a customer, what do you have? You have a predictable business, because they're coming back. And if there's one thing every business needs, I don't care whether I'm dealing with our big enterprise customers or my small mom and pop shops that started us off on this journey, they need confidence that next week the business is going to be okay. Because they're trying to hire new people. They want to know their cash flow is solid. And if you put in a DVI, it then finds all the work you should be seeing on all those vehicles coming in the door. And the owner will have a more secure business. The staff have better communication amongst themselves, less arguments between advisors and technicians when it's frankly right there in photos and measurements right in front, no more chicken scratch. And the last piece is, and I'll wrap up. I know I've been talking a lot here about this four quadrant, Chris. The last thing is, why are those returning customers so important? And I said it's because of cash flow and happy customers tell other happy customers, right? It's word of mouth. But what's really interesting is some stats we saw recently from Cars Magazine. This is back in October of 2023. And what they found out was, when a customer returns for a second visit, they spend about 67% more than their first visit. So what's interesting is, if you can make a great impression on the first time they come to you, and most customers, by the way, that are new to you, why are they there? It's because they didn't like where they were before, right? they feel they didn't get the trustworthy service, they didn't get open communication, and there was no transparency last time. So I think those are the four quadrants. That's what DVI, when it's implemented well, can really help with, because every person in that quadrant needs something different, right, in order to feel really happy and be well taken care of.
Yeah. And it's, you know, as you speak, you can hear kind of the harmony of how it all works together, you know, from the time the customer gets in to the time, you know, the car is delivered back to the customer. You can hear how each portion is supposed to work, you know, in some sort of balance and harmony.
You're exactly right. It really is, when you do DVI right, it is a train going right through on rails. And I know I had a good friend of mine years ago, Rick Hunter. He worked with Goodyear. He's one of the top Goodyear guys. And he goes, you know, DVI gives guys a track to run on. And, you know, everybody's been to a high school meet, you know, track meets. There's a reason why there's lanes. Like, you need to have your lane. You need to know, how do I get from point A to point B, and how do I stay in my lane? Because when you stay in your lane and you're really efficient, you are super fast. And frankly, watching a great relay race, a high school relay race, where they're handing the baton to each other, that is exactly what's happening every day inside auto service centers. Service advisor gets the baton first from the customer. Is that handoff good? Does the customer feel as if they were listened to? Did they get all their points down? That's where a DVI also can pick all that up, so that when the repair order is opened on the shop management side, you know, if you open up a ticket inside your shop system, you may say, oh, customer has a rattle in the, you know, right front, a bit of a squeal when braking. All of that information will show up on the tablet instantly for the inspection. So the technician knows, oh, I know exactly why they're here. Because that's the first baton pass, right? Customer to service advisor, and then the next baton pass over to the technician. And then once he passes that baton off, then it's in the home stretch. Now it's back to the advisor to build the estimate and send it to the customer.
Yeah. And it's like, when you're the advisor, it's almost, you have to handle that initial care with the customer, almost like with the precision of a police report, you know? Where you're getting all the details, you're getting all the information. It's like, you know, there's not too little information to take in. You have to take it as much as possible so that the technician has a lot to work with.
Yes, you're exactly right. And, you know, I think shops try very hard to do this, but what breaks sometimes is that the customer will come in with a concern. The service advisor will do their best, write it down or type it in to their repair order or their estimate. It goes to the back. The technician may see that note, hopefully does, addresses it. But then when the estimate is ready, if you're just sending an estimate in its normal format, it might not organize itself into what was their key priority. It'll just give you, oh, well, first we do the brakes, and then we do the suspension, and then we do this and this, and then buried down in there was their concern. So that's where sometimes customers feel like, did you really hear me? Were you listening to me, or were you just trying to sell me $1,200 worth of work today? And I think that's where a good DVI, again, if it does its job right, you get that information and we put it right up top. So that's the first thing. We call it customer concern on our system, and I'm sure others do something similar. But it's the first thing that a technician looks at when they open the inspection, is what was the customer most concerned about?
Yeah. It's funny, like a DVI story I have is one time I took my car, you know, to get my inspection. And of course, they inspect the tires. And the thing is that they do the courtesy inspection, and my tires, I thought my tires were fine, right? Like, I look at them, they're beautiful on the outside, the tread looks good. And they're like, yeah, you need two new tires. I'm like, that's not possible. And then when I see the DVI, you can see the backside of the tires, the wires are showing.
Oh,
that stuff I can't see as a customer though.
Yeah.
But the DVI can show that to me.
Yes. Yeah. 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 There's, you know, that's why I think, Chris, in the end, look, the shop owners, you know, that core, one of the quadrants, and they're very true. I mean, you've got good people working in auto service. Generally, people that work in auto service, they want to fix things. Those are the good guys in the world. Like, really, they probably started when they were 5 or 10 years old, taking stuff apart. And if they were lucky, they put it back together, you know? It's just, there's a curiosity, as you said, about how do things work and how can I make things work, right? And they take great pride in their work, and that they want to make sure that you, the customer, understand why they're making the recommendation. And that's why photos and videos are so helpful. And that by the end of the day, they've got your vehicle back on the road and you get to see what the work was that they did, right? Like, hey, here's what your $1,200 got you today. Instead of just a phone call, $1,200 gone. I guess it's better. Can you really tell? You know? So I think it's much better when they've got a report afterwards. And by the way, there's one last point I say about DVI. I said, we want to make customers bulletproof. So what is that? Well, that's because there's this weird behavior people have. It's usually like some nosy uncle or some know-it-all brother-in-law or somebody. But, you know, you get your vehicle fixed, then you're over for dinner, you know, 2 days later, and they go, oh, yeah, I'd take the vehicle into, you know, Joe's Automotive up there and new brakes. And as it was, I had to spend about $850. And they go, and somebody goes, $850? They go, didn't you see the billboard that ABC company? It's $89.95, like lifetime. Blah, blah. And they go, and then I've heard this because some people say, oh, well, that's just for the pads. And the person goes, what, they're just for the pads? They go, no, look at my report, pull it out. And they go, no, see this? And they become the ones educating the know-it-alls. So a bulletproof customer is one who truly understands what their money got them today. And if you just do a phone call, you might make that individual okay to spend the money, but they never have proof. They never have evidence at the end to really be bulletproof from people taking a shot at them, a shot at your shop, you know, and accusing you of doing work you shouldn't have done, whereas this is proof forever.
Right. And it's like what you've told me in the past, you know, when we've spoken, like this, you know, helps the shop become the hero in the eyes of the customer.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, this is probably no surprise to any listeners, but how many times have you heard when someone says, oh, I need a really great plumber. Do you have one? What's the phrase? Oh, yeah, I got a guy or I got a gal. Like men, women, doesn't matter, but I got a guy. And it's suddenly like, oh, can you give me their number? It's like some secret code you have to give out, you know? And frankly, when you get a good technician, a good service advisor, then your shop becomes, oh yeah, I got a guy or I got a gal, right? So that's where you want to get to. And that's where I think DVI just really helps just elevate your game dramatically.
Absolutely. So how do you see the aftermarket being able to use this, you know, this very thoughtful approach to DVI in a way to help them just be more competitive, even with dealerships and other people?
Well, that's a very, very fair point. You know, how does a shop compete with a marketing budget of, you got $5,000 for the year, or you got $10,000 for the year, like whatever number you want to say, right? And you're going up against a guy, you know, down the street that's just spent $10 million on his new showroom. And he's in all the ads, he's billboards, he's everywhere. Well, the important thing is, what impression does your brand make, though? So it's not, you don't need billboards, you don't need all that great stuff, you don't need $1 million showroom, but you do need to make a great impression. And you got to look like you spent $1 million. And that's where DVI, because that's the report that goes out the door, it's, you know, and obviously with our firm, I'm not embarrassed to say, I did look at the way Apple built their interfaces and said, that is a smart interface. So when we build AutoServe One, let's basically leverage the smart design ideas Apple had, which was lots of open space, keep things crisp and clear, don't make it too busy, right? That's what we did. And that's the impression that comes across. We custom brand every DVI. So if it's Joe's Automotive, it's Joe's Automotive logo that goes up on the top of that report. So it looks like Joe did spend millions to get the latest tech and to be super professional. You don't need to have a super great looking garage that competes with a dealership, because frankly, your customers aren't hanging out in your waiting room anyway. They probably drop the car off when they're at work, or they're at the soccer match, or they're off doing five other things. So, but if you deliver a world-class image onto their phone with your branding and the tech is advanced, equal or better than the dealership, you just won.
Right on. It's kind of like that old adage that we heard, growing up quite a bit from our parents, dress for the job you want, It's the same thing, put your best foot forward and present for the clients that you want.
That's very interesting. Huh. That's a very interesting way to say it. Yes, I think this allows you to show up with a $1 million suit on for your customers without spending the $1 million. We spent the millions. Obviously the shops don't need to. But that's a very good way to put it. And the other thing I think is something else our parents probably told us is always put on a smile and greet people warmly.
Yes.
And some days people have arguments with their spouse, their car broke down, their dog's sick, their children are sick. I mean, stuff happens to us all. And it's hard to sometimes put on a really big smile and greet people warmly and consistently day in, day out. But the one thing about DVI is it doesn't get sick, doesn't have attitudes, it just always looks professional every single time, and it's consistent. The words that are used to describe an issue are consistent. Every technician, same wording. Every time they visit, it's the same wording that matches the exact condition of that vehicle. It's not chicken scratch. It's not a greasy palm print on a piece of paper that you throw somewhere in your dash. It's none of that. It's clean, it's crisp, it's professional, always.
Right on. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you walking us through the quadrants today, talking about DVI, the impact that it makes on the shop, and how it really helps auto repair shops look great in the eyes of their customers.
Hey, you're very welcome. You're very welcome, Chris. And, one of the things we didn't focus on today is the obvious benefit and revenue lift, right? And that's another significant piece where on average, we do see revenue rising about 22%. Per vehicle visit when they use DVI.
That's impressive. Very much so.
Well, it's hard, and frankly, it's hard for some people to believe until they start using DVI and they go, oh, I get it. Because now we're actually, all my technicians are getting better in inspecting vehicles together, right? Everybody's on the same system. And that's back to Rick Hunter's old comment, give them a track to run on and everybody can run really well.
Very true. I like that. All right, Jamie, thank you so much again. And, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Pleasure. Anytime, Chris. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And that's going to do it for us here today at Ratchet & Wrench Radio. I'd like to invite you to follow us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as subscribe to our email newsletter, which goes out daily. And you can find that at ratchetandwrench.com. And that's RatchetAndWrench.com. And may the rest of your day be the best of your day. And we'll see you next week.